it's I'd like to take some time this morning to speak on the thought that God will take care of you. How many wish you could sometimes, not all the time, wish you could go, as the old saying says, you can't go home again. Wish you could go back in time, a carefree time when you lived at home, had no worries or cares, just to make sure that you were home for supper on time and that you did your homework. Those were great times because all those other things in life were taken care of. And then we crossed the threshold of adulthood, and things changed. And now it's no longer, well, Mom and Dad will take care of everything. Now I've got to take care of things. But bless God, our Heavenly Father is still taking care of things, and He wants us to be mindful of that every day. Reading Psalm 23 from verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's bow our hearts and ask God's blessing to be with us as we read the Word of God in Jesus' name. Father, once again, we give You the glory and honor and praise for the wonderful things that You have done in our lives, and that You are our good shepherd. So we look to the Word of God now. We ask in the name of Jesus that You would speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to grow strong in You. And help us to live that carefree, peaceful life that You have purchased for us on Calvary. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is, if not the most beloved, one of the most beloved scriptures that there is. One that I've read a number of times. I've done a number of funerals. I don't know how many, maybe 20, maybe 22, somewhere around there. And perhaps not all of them, but almost all of them, I have read this psalm. Because people receive comfort in knowing that our good shepherd, for those who believe in Jesus, is waiting to usher those who pass from this life to the next. And so, giving them great comfort regarding passing or regarding the future. It is one that I've read many times at deathbeds and also other hospital situations where people have received bad news and are going through times of difficulty. So they want to be assured that during these difficult times, God is going to be there with them. But unfortunately, I think this psalm has been relegated too much to deathbeds and funerals, because it is not a psalm that is meant solely for those occasions. Reading verse 6, once again, the Bible says, "Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This scripture giving us the two occasions in which this scripture is meant to minister to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, regarding the future. Yes, when we're knocking on death's door, to know that because we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, although we might be suffering at the moment, that suffering soon will end and we'll enter into joy and bliss for eternity in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're powerful scriptures. But the other occasion given for us in this scripture is that goodness and love will follow me all the days of our life. This is a scripture for now. This is a scripture that we should draw strength from now. in the name of Jesus, as we live for Jesus, not facing death's door, not going through some type of horrendous life-threatening situation or circumstance. The theme is of this psalm is very simple. If I was to just condense it down to one brief sentence, it is that God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is being described as our shepherd. And as our shepherd, he is one who saves, delivers, but he's also one who provides and protects. And this is a message that needs to be known now, not just as far as something that will bless us in eternity, but the caring ministry of our good shepherd now, the world needs to hear it. Because we are undergoing just a great deal of trouble and anxiety in the life that we face. And of course, you can't go a day without looking at the newspaper or some other media news outlet and seeing concerns over the economy. Where is it going? There may be some positive signs, but there's still much fear regarding the economic future of this country. There are fears over in many kitchen tables in the United States and in the world, for that matter, every day wondering, will I still have my job tomorrow? Will I still be able to provide for my family? There are fears over the government. There are some whose faith isn't so much in God as it is the government. Well, the government will come in and take care of everything. And the government has tried to do that. I'm not saying it's right or wrong that they do. They, you know, pray for them. God lead them. Grant them wisdom. May they do the best. But I just read last night an interview with President Obama. One of the things that came out of that interview was, we're out of money. The government is not an unending source of money. They just can't print more when they run out. I think sometimes we think that. And then, of course, this past week, in the debate between our president and former vice president, it revived the fears over the geopolitical situation that this world is in and the two schools of thought. And I'm not here to endorse one or the other, to debate the merits of either argument. But this past week did remind us there is still great fear regarding the national security of our country and the security all over the world. There are troubling concerns everywhere. And people now more than ever need to know that no matter what happens, God will take care of them. Psalm chapter 34, verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them him from them all. What does that scripture say? There are troubles. And sometimes the troubles we face are many. And now, not only are people facing troubles, everyone is facing many troubles on many hands. But the message of God to mankind today is that no matter how big or how great the troubles are, God will take care of you. The church needs to know this, the world needs to know this, because the world has strayed from the Lord Jesus Christ. They're looking to anything and anyone other than Jesus for salvation and deliverance, to political minds and leaders, to economists, to financiers, to money, to ambassadors and people who speak peace. And all those things, as admirable as they might be, will all fail because they're of man. But there is something sure that can carry us through these times of difficulty, and that's the Lord. And the world needs to know that the Lord is there, ready to care for all those who turn to Him. But the church needs to know this as well. Because I dare say the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been caught up in all the fear that is being spoken in the news, and fear that is spoken at the workplace, and fear that is spoken in home. Uncertainty about our future, whether it be financially or whether it be in some other aspect, our national security. And that must not be so. Because not only are we to be a people who project faith, we're people who testify that we believe in Jesus. So our words and our countenance must likewise do so. We must be people who live in faith and understand that God has everything taken care of and He's going to care for us. Looking at this scripture and walking through it this morning, the basic premise laid out for us in Psalm 23, verse 1, is that every need that we might have is supplied by Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. This is a common theme throughout Scripture. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply what? Shall supply all my need, or all your need, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes we're able to believe God for some of our needs. But for some reason, and maybe this is just something that I experienced in my life and you don't experience in your life, there are holes in our faith. We're able to believe God for some things. But because maybe we don't feel we can trouble God too much, or maybe God's done too much for us, or maybe some things God will do for other people, but He won't do for us. We don't believe that God will take care of every need. But the Scripture is clear in letting us know that whatever need, not want, so to speak, but whatever need that we might have in our life, God will provide for it in the name of Jesus. There's not one that He will not take care of. Now in this wonderful Scripture, we see the reason why every need of ours is taken care of. And that's because our good shepherd, like every true shepherd or shepherdess, is a God of love and compassion. Think of David. We have a great Old Testament example of him as a shepherd. And it was a proving ground for him. And David, as he was discussing later on in his life, the desire to take on military responsibilities in the kingdom of Israel, said that when he was tending his father's flock, when a lion and a bear would come, he wouldn't run. He would stand, he would fight, and he would be victorious over that lion or that bear. Now, I don't know how many sheep that he was taking care of. Maybe it was 100. That seems to be, a New Testament number. For me, if I'm a shepherd, and I'm taking care of 100 sheep, and I see a lion and a bear, and I think, well, if I give this lion or this bear one sheep, and I get the rest of them out of here, I can live with 99%. That's an A+ in my book. But no, David was a man. I don't know if he loved his sheep, but we'll see that Jesus certainly loves his sheep. He certainly loved his father and was devoted to the task that he was doing, would take on the lion and take on the bear, that not one sheep would be lost. And this is an expression, I think, a good way that we can think of the concern of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. See, this psalm is talking about Christ and His present ministry to the church of the Lord Jesus. In fact, another great exposition of Jesus being our caretaker or our shepherd is from John chapter 10. And I'd like to point out two verses to you in this wonderful chapter, which explain to us the reason why God does take care of all of our needs. We don't have to be concerned that that he'll have a bad day or be in a bad mood, or will take care of some and not others. John chapter 10, verse 3, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What are these two verses telling us about the shepherding ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? They are telling us the depth of the love of God for us. Number one, verse 3. He knows his sheep by name. Now, I've never tended sheep before. In fact, the only thing I've really had a great number of was platies, or not guppies, the little tropical fish. And, you buy a couple, and one looked kind of big, and the next morning we had about 20 little ones floating around. And that was 20, far short of the number of sheep that I'm sure the good shepherd here is, this scripture is talking about. You know, I have to confess, I didn't have a name for the mother. Never mind the 20 little babies. But the good shepherd, because he loves the sheep, puts a personal name, an identity to each one of those sheep. He knows them personally. He knows them individually. They are not just sheep to him. And God wants us to know the same thing today as we live our lives, that we are special and we are unique to him. There is a sea of humanity. I have found, I was taught this in school, and I have found there are only so many people one person can take care of within a church body. There's only so many people that you can keep, intimately in contact with and know what's going on, and that type of thing. You know what I'm saying? And then when it gets beyond a certain point, you lose that. And sometimes I think we transpose that human weakness or inability to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm just one of a sea of many people. How many billions are there in the world? 2-3 billion? I don't know. Billions. But God knows each one by name. They are his unique creations. In fact, even though you might have, we have a bill here, a bill here. Any other bills in the audience? Several Johns and Jims and James. Matthew, Mark, we all have similar. The Bible says that when we get to heaven, sure, we're all going to receive a white stone with a new name on it. Amen? God's going to give us all a brand new, unique name. Why? Because we are all unique creations. And he loves us. Think of it. Think especially of parents of children who have, many children. They're not like the little platies or those little fish. They know each one. They can, even if they've got twins, they can tell the difference between the two. And so it is with the concern of our Heavenly Father. And he has proved it, not just that he knows us. It's not just a matter that God has this super intelligence, which he does. God is omniscient, which means he knows everything. Because he loves us. And that verse 11 in John 10 tells us, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Just even more so as David did. David put his life on the line. Jesus gave his life for every soul who has ever lived or breathed, because he knows them, he loves them, and he cares for them. That's why, as God's sheep, he supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. What are our needs, or how does God minister to this as Good Shepherd? Well, He does so through the ministry of restoration. The ministry of restoration. You know, one of the things, and I think everyone has probably experienced it in their lives, one of the sad testimonies that there is on the lips of believers is that the initial spark or wonderment or awe that they receive, that they experience when they first receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, or maybe when they were first filled with the Holy Ghost and God was just all over them, they have never experienced that again. And there's a little bit of a longing or emptiness. Not saying that they don't love God. Not saying that they don't love and appreciate their relationship with God and aren't serving God and are being blessed by God. But there's a little bit of dissatisfaction with their current relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Good Shepherd does not want us to live that way. He wants every day not to be less than the day before, not even to be the same as the day before, but to be better than the day before. Reading verses 2 through 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The restoring of soul. There's a lot of things that God can do for you. You know, God, in just a whim, could put a Lexus in every one of our garages before we leave this door today. God could pay off all of our mortgages. God could give us vacation homes and faraway places and all these things that the world has to offer. And if God was to do that, I'd be happy with that. I wouldn't say no. But all those things come and go. The most important thing that you and I need as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is the reality of Jesus within us and the promise of God. And the promise of the Good Shepherd is that He will restore our soul in Jesus' name. And He does so in a very simple but important way. He makes us lie down in green pastures. Now, this is kind of interesting. Of course, this speaks to the ministry of the Word. Green pastures is, pasture, of course, is what sheep eat. And whenever we think of that which we partake of, it's almost always a symbol or an image of the ministry of the Word of God which we need in our life. But what is this saying about the Good Shepherd and how the Good Shepherd ministers the pasture to us or ministers His Word to us? He makes me lie down in green pastures. It's not just He leads us to pasture. He makes us lie down in green pasture. You know what I found? That there are times I need to be made to lie down in green pastures. And let me explain to you this way. Now, sheep, in that part of the world, I guess, and in other areas too, if you're a nature buff, you like those animal programs on television, there are times in nature where, for the animal kingdom, it's feast. There's plenty to eat. There's plenty of grass, there's plenty of fruit, there are plenty of, you know, bugs and game and all the other stuff. But then there might come either times of cold or times of drought. And there's not a whole lot of pasture. And there's not a whole lot of other things to eat. And whether or not you survive is whether or not you fattened yourself up. Now, in our society, we don't want to hear about putting on weight. But in the animal kingdom, during those lush times, it's time for them to eat up and to stock up and to be strong. Because if they don't, when the lean time comes, they won't have enough reserve of fat to get through the winter or to get through the drought or to get through whatever difficult time that they might be going through. And so the shepherd will linger. and green pastures, even though the sheep, especially some young ones, might want to go on, might want to run, frolic, and play, will force them almost to eat. We have the abundance of the Word of God. And what can we say about the Word of God? It is our help, it is our grace, it is our strength. It's quick and powerful. It is, they are words of life. But I dare say in many believers' lives, one of the first things that it's easy to write off is their discipline of spending time in God's Word, growing fat in God's Word. Let me tell you, there are times, and when we can study, we should study. But there are times where we find it difficult to study. This past week, I was in the hospital for 3 days. Of course, I brought my Bible. And I'm not going to say I didn't open my Bible at all. I did. But let me tell you, I didn't open it up as much as I thought I would because of the medicines and things that they were pumping into me. It had just been words on a page. Lean times come. And if we're not fattened on the Word of God, if we're not following the Good Shepherd in the name of Jesus and availing ourselves to the ministry of green grass, of His Holy Word, we're going to have difficulty. So the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, compels us to spend time in the Word. As Psalm 1 tells us, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Back to this in a minute. Secondly, still waters or quiet waters. These are places of peace. No doubt the quiet waters spoken here speak of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And how do we commune with the Holy Spirit? We do so spiritually, which means we commune with the Holy Spirit through prayer. And yes, our prayer time should be times where we take needs to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is important. God wants us to cast all our cares upon Him. But there are also be times that we're to, as it's put in Scripture, sit at the feet of Jesus or spend time in communion with God, communion with His Holy Spirit, through prayer, through lifting up the name of Jesus, through praise and adoration, through just seeking more of God's Holy Spirit upon our lives. Let me tell you, if you want to get through the difficulties of life, you want to be a person who avails yourself to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because Proverbs 18:10 tells us the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And so, following the Lord Jesus Christ and following the Good Shepherd, we can find places of quietness where our soul can be restored. I know I've mentioned this before, but I think it bears mentioning again, especially in everything that we're going through. And since our lives are so captivated by what's going on in the news and what's going on in society, there's a desire for us just to get away. You know, I wish I could just get away from it all. I can get away from my problems. I can get away from, you know, what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan. I can get away from what's going on in the economy. I can get away from this situation and that situation. The Bible says if we follow the Good Shepherd, He'll bring us to still waters or places of peace. And I didn't go through the full imagery, but sheep will not drink waters that move vigorously, like rapids, that type of thing, but will only drink from still pools, places of rest. God, because He cares for you, if you follow, the Good Shepherd will bring you to these places of rest. and of quietness. I'm not saying that things aren't still going on around. They will. The economy is not going to be solved overnight tomorrow unless, you know, God does a miracle, which he can. But we don't have to have our hearts held hostage by that, because the Good Shepherd cares enough for us to bring us to places of peace as well as refreshing through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Verse 3 also talks about how the Lord Jesus Christ guides us in right paths for his name's sake. And this is just common sense. You know, righteousness or right paths, doing what's right. When we do what we are supposed to do, and we are where we're supposed to be, then we'll receive what we're supposed to receive. The shepherd, and one of his responsibilities is to guide sheep not only to different places, but through different places, some of those places which might be dangerous. And so because he knows the landscape well, he's going to bring them through those places of minimal risk or difficulty. He's going to bring them through places of safety. And God has laid out for us in Scripture, but also through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, right paths for us as well. How to live right and how to live clean. Let me tell you, some of the greatest source of sorrow that befall a man or a woman is not what happens on Wall Street, not what happens in Washington, D.C., but the poor decision that they make outside of the wisdom and the counsel of God. Sin, God does not want us to not sin because he does not want us to have fun. God does not want us to sin, number one, because he loves us and it separates us from him. But he also does not want us to sin because he does not want to see us experience the grief that comes with sin. The wages of sin is death. And so the Good Shepherd, and bless God for the Good Shepherd, because as he leads us along, he guides us in right paths. He makes scriptures real to us when we're faced with temptation. The Holy Spirit convicts us when we might be tempted to do something wrong so that we can avoid every trap, live right, and so live at peace in the name of Jesus. And also to be able to have that clean, clear relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But in these scriptures, we're given our responsibility as well. It's not just a matter of as sheep that God will lead us and it will automatically happen, that we'll eat, that we'll drink from quiet waters, that we'll live righteously. We must make that choice, as we see in Scripture, but as we see in life as well. The shepherd, as good as he might be, will still experience, as loving as he might be, as talented as he might be, will still experience lost sheep, injured sheep, devoured sheep, and so on and so forth. Why? Because the shepherd was not good, not so much because the shepherd was not good, but because the sheep refused to live in obedience to the shepherd. Of course, we have the calling to live righteously. But if you want to live under the restorative blessing of the good shepherd and experience that restoration of your soul, you have to live a life that is not just partially, 100% yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, reading verse 3, he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Everything, the reason that we were created, the purpose for our being, Man was created for to give glory unto whom? Unto God. And so this is our divine purpose. And this is the calling that is upon our lives. But we have a choice and a decision that we can live in obedience to the Good Shepherd and obey Him no matter what we want or how we're feeling, or arbitrarily reject the leading of the Good Shepherd and assert our own will. But if we do so, we do so at our own peril. Because to do so is to put ourselves at risk, a place where we might get lost, wounded, stolen, or devoured. See, one of the things that no organization or organism or family or church can exist with is that of selfishness. There is no room for selfishness in the believer, in the heart of the believer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, and I'm not saying, and we need to understand what true selfishness is. True selfishness isn't so much, although obviously this would be, you know, I want all the money that there is in the world, and I want to be rich and famous and powerful beyond. Selfishness, if we look at it through the a lens of Scripture, through the heart of God, through the eyes of God, is putting oneself's needs and desires above the Lord Jesus Christ. But if that was to happen, it would usher in chaos into our lives. Think of the sheep. The shepherd's responsibility is to lead the sheep to where he wants them to go, not to follow them around and allow them to do whatever they want to do. Can you imagine 100 sheep trying to follow them around and, oh, you know, I've got to run over here to see what this one's doing. And, oh, I've got to run now a half a mile over to this one, and so on and so forth. It would never work. In order for that sheepfold to be successful, those sheep must yield their will. And they must submit to the shepherd. And so it is with our relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, at your job, you just don't go in and do whatever you want. Well, I'm going to go in and I'm going to run this job today. I don't care what my boss wants. I don't care what quota is needed. I'm just going to do what I want. Can you imagine a business run like that? It wouldn't last for a moment. Same with the church. And I'm not saying I'm to tell everybody what they are to do. I prefer to allow the Holy Spirit to burden people to what their role is as far as the kingdom of God. But at times I might be moved to speak to someone. But it should never be, I want to do, or I'm going to do what I want to do. Can you imagine that? Oh, yeah, well, you have maybe 50 ushers. But no one to play the piano, or you know what I'm saying. In order to live in safety and to function normally, there must be yieldedness to a head or to an authority. In this case, the Good Shepherd, of course, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters in Christ, if we want to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to experience this restoring ministry of God, peace that goes beyond all understanding, strength that comes through the Word, righteousness which keeps our feet from the snare of the enemy, then we have to live in complete obedience to God. Obedience to His moral calling. And let me tell you, and I'm not going to jump on a hobby horse this morning or spend a lot of time, but the moral law that's laid out in this book has never expired. And no matter what Hollywood or anyone else has to say about how man is to live righteously before God and before man, It will never supersede this book. In the name of Jesus. And regarding the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit has a plan for every one of us that's in this room today. Both a short-term plan and a long-term plan. God has plans. He has things He wants you to do today. And He has a destiny for your life. And for you to accomplish that in the name of Jesus, you need to be someone who's willing to lay aside what you want and say, I'm going to follow the Good Shepherd no matter what He has to say. In the name of Jesus. So I can be that person who receives that wonderful restorative ministry in Jesus' name. I'd like to ask our musicians to come. I did plan on going through the entire chapter, but I feel that we should close at this point. In the holy name of Jesus.